WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 40 million people passing through airport security checkpoints between December 19th and January 2nd. The weather causing a lot of delays this holiday travel week for flyers. And a fast-moving storm traveling between the Midwest and the Northeast could lead to even more snarls. Court date today for Luigi Mangione, who faces both state and federal charges in the shooting death of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson earlier this month in New York. On a New York City subway train, a woman was set on fire and killed over the weekend.
The NYPD calling cameras now in every subway car a game changer.
It offered detectives immediately answers.
Officers had seen and smelled smoke and came running over. They got the flames out with a fire extinguisher, but the woman died at the scene.
ABC Sonia Rincon, there is a suspect currently under arrest. Several drones went off course at a show in Orlando over the weekend, severely injuring a 7-year-old boy. The FAA still investigating. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. 28 years later is the third installment of the 28 Days franchise. It is the first installment in a new trilogy that starts with 28 years later. 28 years later, The Bone Temple will be the second installment in the new zombie trilogy and is scheduled for release on Martin Luther King Day in 2026. 28 years later opens June 20th, 2025. Billy Bob Thornton likes to play loose and less predictable roles. That was his answer when asked why he turned down popular villain roles. In an interview with Deadline, the actor said he turned down roles in Spider-Man as the Green Goblin and as an arms dealer in Mission Impossible 3. Thornton says he had no interest in sitting for 5 hours while being made up green, and in regard to Mission Impossible 3, says he didn't want to be the guy trying to kill Tom Cruise, adding that when you are a bad guy on that level, that is how people remember you. He's right. I still can't get Sling Blade out of my head. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Packers and the Saints. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the New Orleans Saints tonight on Monday Night Football, game time 7:15. I talked to Packers linebacker Edgerrin Cooper over the weekend after winning his second NFC Defensive Player of the Week award.
It's a big accomplishment. It's just simple. I keep saying it, but I'm just here to play football, have fun out there, and, you know, do what's best for my team.
The Saints will start rookie quarterback Spencer Rattler. Has he ever played in cold weather like Green Bay before?
I haven't played a snow game, but I've played in many cold games before in the Big 12, even in the SEC. Cold, rainy, windy.
College hoops, the Badgers with a non-conference win over Detroit Mercy, 76-53. Head coach Greg Gard working with shooter John Tonjay and his technique.
You just got to keep giving him sample sizes and experience and point those things out. We need him to continue to be more efficient at a high level more consistently.
That's Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, will join us. Plus, does Mega have their pitchforks and torches out for their own speaker, Mike Johnson? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Areas of light snow and freezing drizzle are possible this morning, then mostly cloudy here through the day today. Our high 32 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight 19, tomorrow partly to mostly cloudy 31 on Christmas Day. It'll be cloudy with a high of 34. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 28.
The Todd Allbus Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, political consultant Joe Sopecki joins us and another edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
In the Zone.
Good morning, folks. Whether you're up with the roosters or still easing into the day, I'm so glad that you're making the Midwest Farm Report a part of your morning. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Charity Seebecker, and here at the Midwest Farm Report, we work to connect the dots on what's happening in agriculture and beyond. Today, we've got an electric lineup that's sure to keep you engaged. First, we'll hear from Tracy Thompson, the owner and chocolatier of a Scandinavian-themed chocolate house. She'll share the story behind her business, the delightful treats that they create, how they've been preparing for the holiday rush, and some of the challenges that they face, many of which mirror what farmers deal with every day. Later, we shift gears to a topic close to many hearts during the holidays, pet adoption. While Christmas puppies sound straight out of a Hallmark movie, the reality is a bit different. Stephanie Kramer, a volunteer with the Sauk County Humane Society, explains that more people are seeking already trained animals, as the hustle and bustle of the holidays often make it tricky to adopt and train a new pet. And don't forget to stick around for updates from Farm First, our partners who are dedicated to supporting farms through every season. So grab your coffee, settle in, and let's get started.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Rural Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Christmas time is right around the corner, and one of our favorite treats around this time of year is chocolate. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo, and Tracy Thompson with Shulin's Chocolate House out of Mount Horeb is here to explain how they go about making their chocolate, where they get their beans from, and some of the issues that they have been facing that are similar to farmers.
I wanted to do something nice for my community, and I'm from a Scandinavian background, and I live in a Scandinavian town. And so I'd already been working as a chef for quite some time, but living in Wisconsin, I'd spent most of my time raising children. But things change. The kids grow up. So I started Shulin's Chocolate House, mostly because I wanted to give my community a place to gather together, to have someplace nice that they can sit and have a little, in Scandinavia they call it a fika, you know, share a cup of coffee and something small to eat.
And what exactly do you make here? What different types of candies and all that do you make?
We make so much. It started with bakery, and I focused on Scandinavian. I was trained by 2 European bakers, so European bakery and specifically Scandinavian bakery. And then I went on to food. Scandinavian bakery and involves things like sandbuckles and lefse and limpa. And then we started doing my gam's meatballs, Swedish meatballs. She wasn't from Åland. She was from around Stockholm. And then after that, I started making more and more confection, meaning like truffles and caramels and those sorts of things. And then my daughter got interested in making chocolate about 2007, I think it was. And then we started buying beans from all over the world and coming up with different recipes. And then making chocolate bars out of those beans. So we make a lot of different things.
You were saying that you make chocolate, obviously, as a chocolate house. Could you give us a run through that process of each step it takes as you're making this chocolate?
The first thing you do is go through the beans. We have a small rock collection from around the world, a few sticks, and then clean the beans. And then after that, we roast them. And after we roast them, we let them cool. That makes the shell release from the inside of the bean. They have a harder shell than a coffee bean, for instance. You use the whole business with the bean. Anyway, with the chocolate bean, we let them cool. And then we chop up the bean in a blender. And a friend of ours invented a winnower that works magnificently to separate the husk from the bean. And the bean is called a nib once it's chopped. So the nib will fall into the bucket and the husk gets whisked away by the shop vac. And then we put them in a large, technically it's a curry grinder from India that we have, but it holds 65 pounds of total product. So we put in a lot of nib, probably about 40 pounds of nib, and then grind that for a couple of days. And after a couple of days, then we start adding other ingredients, whether it's sugar or coconut sugar or cocoa butter or milk products. We specialize in making Wisconsin milk chocolate and Wisconsin butter chocolate. We replace some of the cocoa butter that's typically used and replace it with a clarified butter. I will say that our Wisconsin butter chocolate and our Wisconsin milk chocolate are two best-selling products. So we add all the ingredients into the grinder and let that go. It takes about a week to 9 days to finish a single batch of chocolate. And then we cool it, pour it into trays and cool it down in the fridge quick so it shapes into a bar and doesn't crumble to pieces. And then we wrap them up and let them age on the shelf for, well, the milk you can use pretty much right away, but the dark chocolates need to age for a bit to get rid of all the sharp tannin flavors. And then shape it into bars.
Well, and through that, you were mentioning that you get the beans from all over the world, but you also have some Wisconsin chocolate. Could you explain a bit about how you do your sourcing for these candies?
Well, I work for our own chocolates. I work with bean brokers, and they're the ones, like they're coffee brokers who go in all the different countries to find good beans, and that's the same with a bean broker for chocolate. Sometimes they're this one and the same, because quite often chocolate and coffee are grown side by side, and so if they find beans in, say, Uganda, they're probably already there sourcing for coffee. So same with, we've gotten beans from Haiti, Dominican Republic, Guatemala, Ghana, Philippines, a lot of different places. And so the Wisconsin chocolate is really just our chocolate, but we also do, because I live in a small town, so I have to have price range for everybody. So I have been using some imported Belgian chocolate as well.
You mentioned these different countries where you get the beans from. Is there a difference in flavors as you taste them?
Wildly different. We get all the way from tropical fruit tasting chocolate to really dark, leathery type taste. Some tasting charts call it tobacco, which doesn't make it sound very appealing, I know, but there's a huge range of flavors. And then on top of that, we get to add different ingredients to change the flavor again, or sometimes, like our Main Street chocolate bar, we combine different types of chocolate together. We use Rusty Dog Coffee for our coffee house, and we make them a chocolate bar that combines their coffee with a couple of our different chocolate, one from, I think it's Uganda and one from Guatemala. But because the flavor, it's the same coffee bean, but the flavor profile is very different using different beans. And that's really the fun part, is getting to play with flavors.
Well, and as we move towards the holidays and Christmas, which one of the favorite snacks around Christmas time is chocolate, how are you preparing for that?
We have been preparing since June. We have what we call foils, which are just different kinds of chocolate. I use the Belgian chocolate for this and combine it with different flavors. Like one is gingerbread flavors and one is peppermint, and we have spicy pepper and cinnamon one. We have chocolate with toffee. We have all sorts of different combinations, but you can shape chocolate early. Anything that requires fresh ingredients, like today I'm making marshmallow Santas that are chocolate mold, and then pipe in some marshmallow filling, and then we get little Santas. And then I'm also making truffle Santas, which is the chocolate Santa with a truffle filling. And I like to make all of those fresh. So we're working really hard making and packaging everything, getting ready for Christmas.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to add about your business or small town chocolatier industry as a whole?
Well, it's a little frustrating right now, just because we're very nervous about the future business climate, given that all of our products, the coffee beans and the chocolate beans and quite a lot of sugar in America, is imported, and we're a little nervous about import taxes on that, as well as packaging materials. So many of them come from China, and having to, they just aren't for small businesses.
Recently, there's been a shortage in the cocoa beans. Has that affected you yet, or do you think it's going to affect you in the future?
It will definitely affect what we have access to and what countries we have access to. Hopefully there's enough beans in the warehouse to get us through the next year, but if we're still open in a year. I've been hesitating buying beans because I wasn't sure if we were going to be open.
Thompson says that if you love tasty treats and want to help out at Shulin's Chocolate House in Mount Horeb, to check out their website to apply. That's at www.shulins.com. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
UW
system spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for an all-new live show. We'll preview the big Monday night football game, the Green Bay Packers. Brady Ewing will be here, and many more surprises. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Culture. A snowy winter can help provide some much-needed moisture for spring planting, while cold snaps might influence how our farmers plan for the coming year. So it's a perfect day to chat about what's ahead. And speaking of that, it's time for our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. You can learn more about them and find a location near you at compeer.com. So, Stu, I know we had some snow last week, but what's up for this week?
Well, Charity, a little mess today. How about that? What could very well be in some areas a mix of drizzle and freezing drizzle, maybe some snow. And before you get too concerned, not a major storm. We're not going to add feet of snow or anything like that. Maybe some slippery spots and stretches. I don't expect a great cover of ice either. But there's a winter weather advisory in effect for a good part of Wisconsin, with the exception of the far southwest part of the state and the northwest part of the state. Everyone else under that winter weather advisory. In the west, it's from 9 this morning till 3 this afternoon. In the east, from 9 this morning till 6 this evening. And in that area, of course, some precipitation is expected. There's a cool front dropping in from the northwest already today in northwest Wisconsin, with a band of snow from Iron Mountain, Michigan, just to the northwest of Wausau, and heading down toward Rochester, Minnesota. A little mix of freezing rain and snow in southeast Minnesota, northern Iowa. Not going to be amounting to a great deal today. We'll tell you more about the details right after this.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
All righty, Stu, let's hear our weather forecast.
All right, that Compeer Financial weather update does indeed call for more cloudy skies today. The winter weather advisory in many parts of Wisconsin. In the south, a little drizzle, some snow, maybe a little freezing drizzle. Further north, more likely snow. Oh, I draw a line around Wausau to Green Bay. North and south of that line by 50 miles or so, there could be an inch or two of snow. Otherwise, just very small amounts anywhere in the state. Temps today in the low and mid 30s. South winds 5 to 15, becoming west and northwest. Overnight, any snow ends in the east, mostly cloudy skies, and we drop back to the mid to upper 20s. Not too cold. Northwest breeze is about 5. Still mostly cloudy. Tuesday, a little sunny. sun breaking through here. And again, that's not all bad. Upper 20s in the north, low 30s south, northeast winds at 5, and mostly cloudy for Wednesday. Not a bad day. Almost everybody will be around or in the 30s, mid-30s in the south, with an east wind at 5. Even warmer, Charity, for the end of the week. Some 40s in the south, but maybe a little rain as we look toward Friday.
So it sounds like not too bad of a holiday stretch ahead of us, everybody. That's Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, with our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update on a Monday. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Be sure to let us know what questions you have or what you might want to know by using our talk text line at 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-FARM. Stick around with me, guys, on this Monday morning.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams was denied access to over $4 million in matching public funding for his 2025 campaign due to questions over an ongoing federal investigation and accusations of financial mismanagement. The U.S. Department of Justice filed charges against the mayor in September, charging him with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He is also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal these transactions, according to the DOJ. The New York City Campaign Finance Board ruled December 16th that Mayor Adams' request for $4.5 million in matching funds would be denied. The chair of the board said in a statement, "After thoroughly reviewing all available information, including the details of the indictment of Mayor Adams, the board has determined there is reason to believe the Adams campaign has engaged in conduct detrimental to the matching funds program in violation of law, including the Campaign Finance Act and board rules." New York City's campaign finance system provides an 8-to-1 match for small donations of $250 or less for mayor and $175 for city council. Such small donor financing systems promote transparency, discourage big money, and encourage less affluent candidates to run. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 40 million people passing through airport security checkpoints between December 19th and January 2nd. The weather causing a lot of delays this holiday travel week for flyers. And a fast-moving storm traveling between the Midwest and the Northeast could lead to even more snarls. Court date today for Luigi Mangione, who faces both state and federal charges in the shooting death of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson earlier this month in New York. On a New York City subway train, a woman was set on fire and killed over the weekend.
The NYPD calling cameras now in every subway car a game changer.
It offered detectives immediately answers.
Officers had seen and smelled smoke and came running over. They got the flames out with a fire extinguisher, but the woman died at the scene.
ABC Sonia Rincon, there is a suspect currently under arrest. Several drones went off course at a show in Orlando over the weekend, severely injuring a 7-year-old boy. The FAA still investigating. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. HBO is making a preemptive renewal for Dune Prophecy. The network announced ahead of last weekend's season one finale that there will be a season two. The show that stars Olivia Williams and Emily Watson is a prequel based on the novel called Sisterhood of Dune. All 6 episodes of the season can be viewed on Max. The Brutalist is currently playing in theaters and has received incredible reviews. The film stars Adrian Brody, who threw himself into the role, saying it was very fulfilling to work himself into exhaustion. The way Brody described the casting process sounded exhausting, too, as he was cast, then replaced, then ultimately found his way back into the lead role of a Jewish architect relocating to America after the Holocaust. Brody and the film are receiving great reviews and serious Oscar buzz. If you plan to check it out, though, pack a lunch, as the film is a healthy 3.5 hours long. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Packers and the Saints. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the New Orleans Saints tonight on Monday Night Football, game time 7:15. I talked to Packers linebacker Edgerrin Cooper over the weekend after winning his second NFC Defensive Player of the Week award.
It's a big accomplishment. It's just simple. I keep saying it, but I'm just here to play football, have fun out there, and do what's best for my team.
The Saints will start rookie quarterback Spencer Rattler. Has he ever played in cold weather like Green Bay before?
I haven't played a snow game, but I've played in many cold games before in the Big 12, even in the SEC. Cold, rainy, windy.
College hoops, the Badgers with a non-conference win over Detroit Mercy, 76-53. Head coach Greg Gard working with shooter John Tanjay in his technique.
You just got to keep giving him sample sizes and experience and point those things out. We need him to continue to be more efficient at a high level more consistently.
That's Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, a simple way to reduce the burden on property taxpayers. Have the legislature go back to paying its fair share for special education.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Areas of light snow and freezing drizzle are possible this morning, then mostly cloudy here through the day today. Our high 32 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight 19, tomorrow partly to mostly cloudy 31 on Christmas Day. It'll be cloudy with a high of 34. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 28.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Uh-oh.
Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Rudderless ship Evil. They're trotting out Spencer Rattler on Monday night. It's going to be a blowout.
I'm Charity Stebecker, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. Thanks for joining us on this Monday morning, everybody. Let's take a quick trip down memory lane here. On December 23rd, 1867, the Wisconsin Agricultural Society was founded to advance agricultural education and innovation. This organization played a pivotal role in shaping Wisconsin's farming community, from organizing agricultural fairs to supporting farmers with valuable resources. Now, fast forward to December 23rd in 1924, when Wisconsin had firmly established itself as the nation's top cheese producer. And that still holds strong today, I'm happy to report. And thanks to the rich soils, a favorable climate, and a thriving dairy industry, Wisconsin's earned its place as America's Dairyland. While agriculture remains central to Wisconsin's identity, it's not the only thing on people's mind this holiday season. Pets often come to mind as holiday gifts, but Christmas puppies are more of a movie myth. Instead, many people are looking for trained animals, and they find that the holidays are too hectic for pet adoption. Stephanie Hoff has the story.
What's trending at the animal shelter ahead of the holidays? It might surprise you that the Christmas puppies aren't as popular as they seem on TV. We're visiting with Stephanie Kramer, a volunteer at the Sauk County Humane Society, which welcomes roughly 2,000 animals every year. She tells us about some of the adoption trends they're noticing.
Adoptions tend to ebb and flow at the shelter. Every month is incredibly different for us. But when you think about trends across the nation, some of those directly are related to the shelter. So in the spring and summer, we tend to see a lot more litters of kittens and litters of puppies that are coming our way. In terms of high numbers of adoption, there's a misconception as well that around the holidays, everyone wants to adopt an animal. Not always true, because people are incredibly busy and spending time outside of the home and maybe traveling. So we do see ebbs and flows throughout the year with adoptions. We have been very fortunate enough, though, to see an increase this year with some of our adoptions. But with those numbers, we're also seeing an uptick in the number of animals coming through our door. So it's really proportionate. The need is just so great.
What are people interested in? I mean, is it dogs? Is it cats? Are there particular breeds or age ranges?
Right now at the shelter, we currently have about 20 dogs and over 100 cats. We also have a plethora of bunnies, two birds, two rats, and a partridge in a pear tree. No, I'm just kidding. But we have a lot of animals currently at the shelter, and animals are like people. They're incredibly unique. And so we are constantly finding different individuals and families coming in looking for animals that maybe resemble an animal that had already crossed the Rainbow Bridge, or maybe an animal who would be a good companion for them because they're aging and they want that companionship. Or maybe they have a young child, and so they're looking for a smaller dog who would get along better with children. So again, trend-wise, it really just depends upon the need. I also think there's a misconception that everyone, especially around the holidays, wants to adopt a puppy or a young kitten. But the truth is, puppies are a lot of work, right? There's all of the puppy training that comes with those cute little fur babies. And so we do see that a year or older, those animals are being adopted. And sometimes, depending upon the month, even more frequently.
Do rural shelters face unique or separate challenges from perhaps a shelter that's in an urban area like here in Madison?
I think that all shelters have unique challenges, but the difference for the Sauk County Humane Society and all of us being in rural Sauk County and Baraboo, we end up overflowing with animals from every different county because, again, we are not charging surrender fees. We are not making the population wait for a week or have an appointment to come in. And I think that's really important. And that's one of the biggest differences and impacts that various open admissions shelters versus non have.
Stephanie Kramer along with us. Not only is she a volunteer at the Sauk County Humane Society, she's also the United States of America's Mrs. Wisconsin. Another message she had for me was, if you want to donate to animal shelters, get in touch with your local shelter and give them your money or your time directly. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Welcome back. I'm Charity Seebecker. Happy to be with you here on this Monday morning. I hope your week is off to a great start. But before we dive into today's updates, let's take a moment to reflect on the top stories that made headlines last week. Ben has the highlights for us of the top 5 stories that you might have missed.
Here at the Midwest Farm Report, we are paying attention to what you're listening to. Here are the top 5 stories that you may have missed from last week. At number 5, smarter manure application for better crop. Number 4, farmers rally for fairness, Spain's growing agricultural movement. Number 3, choose Wisconsin chocolate this holiday season. Number 2, challenges facing your favorite produce. And your number 1 most listened to story from last week, fighting for food sovereignty and small farms.
Thanks, Ben. Now let's shift gears and take a look at the morning markets. New crop corn is trading at 438 and 3/4, up a penny. New crop beans are trading at 991 and a half, up 4 1/4 cents. And new crop wheat is trading at 554 and a quarter, up 4 cents. And February milk is trading at 1969, up 47 cents.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a thought about whether fancy cookware is worth your hard-earned dollars. I love cooking, so I have done a lot of research to figure out what is worth my money. One thing I know, fancy nonstick is a no-go. Don't do it. Nonstick pans wear out after a year, maybe two. Once the surface of the pan gets all scrapey-scratchy, you gotta throw it out and you gotta replace it. I replace mine roughly once a year. Here's another tip. Don't buy a set of pans. Buy the cookware you need one piece at a time as you need it. For most tasks in my house, cheap cast iron is the go-to. I like it from a yard sale, but if you got to buy new at the store, you can do that too. And this leaves room to say, yeah, if you love to cook, a high-end all-clad or Le Creuset pot, that is the occasional treat that I think can be worth it. Although I would still wait for them to go on sale. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. 3 times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey K., will join us. Plus, does MAGA have their pitchforks and torches out for their own speaker, Mike Johnson? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
And now we're getting ready to move forward towards the annual meeting. But there's other items to discuss. In studio to help us discuss that is their new communications director. That's Jeff Ditzenberger, who joined the Farm First staff really right in the flurry of all this, didn't you?
Yeah, it was the middle of November. Yeah. was there for 2 days, and then Thursday and Friday, and then Monday, and then Tuesday I was at my first district meeting.
How have the district meetings been going attendance-wise and overall conversations?
We just had a board meeting yesterday. We were actually up in attendance, which is it's good to see. You know, I always like to see farmers taking an interest in their business and what's going on in the political side of things that affects them. Conversations have been good. And of course, when you get some good roasted chicken, you can have a little bit better conversation, but they've been very informative. I mean, farmers are asking good, solid questions, and the discussions have been really, really good. Mick and I have started those meetings with the fact that, you know, we're here to get their message back out to the people that need to hear it, but they're the ones that know their business the best. And I tell you what, listening to the PAM, they definitely know what they're doing out there.
In case you're not familiar, we've had Jeff in studio with us before. He's been a part of Wisconsin agriculture since he was born. But give people a little bit of a background and then tell us why you decided that this is something that fits in your wheelhouse and speaks to your passion.
Well, I fed my first baby calf when I was 4 years old, lived on a little dairy farm down in southern Wisconsin, down in South Wayne, went into the military, got out of the military, went back into farming shortly after being in production ag for a short period of time there, started selling farm machinery, sold for all three majors, was with an ag marketing firm for about 2 years, and then was also married to a dairy farmer for 16 years. She did the milking, I did the chores, and worked off the farm most of the time, did the field work, and then went into crops for 7-8 years. That gentleman ended up getting brain cancer, worked for an online auction company for a couple years, and this opportunity came up, and I want to be that guy that, you know, understands the language that's coming into us and being able to get it to the people that really need to hear it in a way that they'll understand it as well too. You know, I figured it was a way to get over my shyness, I guess, yeah, Pam, right. At the end of the day. Yeah. I get to see you more often.
Yeah,
so.
Right. But no, seriously, he has got the background and knows an awful lot of people that are already engaged in business with Farm First. Now, let's talk a little bit. We mentioned that these district meetings are a great way to catch up on what's happening with Farm First specifically and some of the business plans going into 2025. Another big conversation piece that really is not as big a conversation piece as it could be. You have been discussing federal milk marketing orders. We're talking about revisions. Jeff and I were in studio saying, hey, it's a pretty simple message. You either want to keep them or you don't. How are your members feeling about that?
You know, there's a couple of misconceptions out there. I know there was a lot of members that came in that didn't realize, they thought that if they voted yes, that was going to keep the current FMMO, federal milk marketing order, in place, and a no vote meant that, you know, there was chances for revisions, and that's not how this thing works. FMMO, vote yes, means that you have a protected paycheck. You are going to get paid. You know, are there things in it that we're not 100% happy with? Absolutely. You know, and we can address those later, but a no vote on the FMMO, Mick Holmes said it the best, it makes it the Wild West. And, you know, what we mean by that is that it's not the producers that are going to set those prices, it's everybody else. And we, you know, they've been in in inception for a long, long time. They make sense. You know, that protection is very, very important. It's also, in my opinion, from a consumer confidence standpoint, you know, because there are things in there where it's, you know, saying, hey, you got to do certain things. We want best practices. And I know our dairy farmers in Wisconsin and the other ones that we represent in other states are some of the proudest people when it comes to the quality of the milk that they put out to make sure that we've got the quality end products to come out, whether it's cottage cheese, yogurt, cheese, whatever the case may be, you know, and that's what voting yes for that federal milk marketing order does too, is that it also protects the consumers at the same time.
Well, and to Jeff's point, that's the other thing is Farm First obviously is very conscientious about keeping dairy farms in business, and that means timely payment. Without federal milk marketing orders, to your point, that guarantee of getting a milk check literally goes away.
It does. I mean, there's a very large corporation out there that says, you know, we'll buy your milk, but we want to pay you every 90 days because that's how we pay our bills. And I haven't been out of the dairy business long enough to know that, you know, that hasn't gone away. I mean, the feed guys and the fuel guys and the fertilizer guys and all them, they're going to want their money, you know, right then and whatnot. Again, it's a protected paycheck. The federal milk marketing order is a protected paycheck. And, you know, we can fight some other things later on with that. But right now, you know, it's in our best interest to protect our farmers and protect their paycheck and to protect their livelihoods.
Jeff Ditzenberger's in studio with us. This is brought to you courtesy of our friends at Farm First Dairy Cooperative. If you want to investigate why they're different, why, as a young producer, maybe you want to see what growth options Farm First can offer you and your dairy farm, believe me, they've got them. I've talked to Mick about this. I said, you may be one of the only dairy cooperatives in the state that's saying we need more milk. Investigate it. FarmFirstDairyCooperative.com. FarmFirstDairyCooperative.com. Jeff Ditzenberger is their new communications director. So let's talk a little bit. Now we're going to get into 2025. February is the month when the annual meeting's coming around. I know that you've got your own spin that you're going to put on that, which means probably a lot of fun, a lot of laughs. Tell me a little bit more about what we can expect.
So we're still going to have to do some business, obviously. You know, that'll be the time where the resolutions come up. The delegates will be on the delegate floor discussing some of that that's come out and whatnot. But the bigger thing that we want to do is we want to, the committee and myself that's putting this together, we want it to be a celebration. We want it to be about the farmers. We want it to be a night that they can, or a whole day that they can come up. They can taste some of the great cheese that comes from their milk. They can talk to their friends that they haven't seen for, you know, since last year or longer even sometimes, and find out that, you know, some of the challenges that they're having, so are their friends and that kind of stuff, and let them learn from each other. I mean, you and I have talked about this multiple times, Pam, that the best people we can learn from are those that are closest to us that are going through the same things. We've got a couple of some surprises there. We're going to have some fun entertainment as well on Friday night. I actually got to attend it last year as a keynote speaker, and then got to work with you to do the live auction and stuff, which raises money for scholarships and which reminds me, scholarship applications are due by March 31 into my office. You can go on the website, which Pam had mentioned earlier, www.farmfirstcooperative.com, and then go under the resources, and I'll show you how to apply for it and that kind of stuff. But, you know, and you don't even have to be going into a production agriculture degree either. You can, you know, if your family is a Farm First family member, you are eligible for that. So please get those into us. We're still going to do the auction and silent auction. There's some pretty cool things that are getting donated, including from our good friend Charlie Behrens is going to donate a 4-pack of tickets plus backstage passes. Should be a good night.
Location, though, is different. If you are familiar with the Wintergreen up in the Dells, the Wintergreen kind of is no more. Where'd you move it to?
We moved it to Stony Creek, which is up in Onalaska, just outside of La Crosse there. Beautiful hotel, beautiful venue. We've actually been there before, so this is not might not be new for some people, but Wintergreen is doing a bunch of remodeling and that kind of stuff. So, again, we're at the Stony Creek and Onalaska. I should be having the registration links getting put out here pretty soon on social media and through the emails and that kind of stuff. But definitely looking forward for it to being a good time.
Yeah, I agree. Jeff Ditzenberger in with us. Again, if you want to find out more about the annual meeting or maybe follow up on some district business, or you want to kind of connect with Jeff, best way to do it, FarmFirstDairyCooperative.com. FarmFirstDairyCooperative.com. And as you mentioned, if people have questions on the interim, you are not a shy boy. Call, email. You are ready to meet the constituents out there.
When it was announced on Facebook that I was working for Farm First, there was quite a few people that reached out. I'm ready to get my boots dirty in the barnyard. I'm not an office guy. I am in the office, but I want to meet with the members and even non-members who maybe, you know, would like to consider coming on with us, some of the extra things that we have to offer. But it's pretty easy to get a hold of me. You can either email me at the letter J, Ditzenberger, DITZENBERGER, at farmfirstcoop.com, or you can call my cell phone, 608-214-9137. You can also text that if you want, 608-214-9137. I'd be glad to have a conversation with you. Even if you're not a member and you've got some concerns or whatever, give us a call. Talk to us about some of our programs. Young producers, get with us. We're going to have some exciting things coming down the line this next year with Abby and some of the other field reps that are out there. So, again, give me a shout, 608-214-9137 or J. Ditzenberger at farmfirstcoop.com.
Beautiful. Jeff Ditzenberger in studio with us, the brand new communications coordinator for Farm First Dairy. Like we said, happy to have them along with us. Find out more. FarmFirstDairyCooperative.com. FarmFirstDairyCooperative.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The head of the National Farmers Union says a farm bill needs to be passed now. That's next on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back-to-back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
A bunch of farm groups have sent me statements recently about the need to get a new farm bill passed, or in lieu of that, some sort of temporary assistance for farmers. Here's the president of the National Farmers Union, Rob LaRue.
I don't know whether you should call it a crisis of leadership or a failure of leadership, but it's beyond embarrassing that we don't have a farm bill completed right now.
LaRue told the South Dakota State Farmers Union convention that many people made campaign promises going into the November election, but he sees a lot of uncertainty right now.
Our job right now, certainly at National, and we'll be reaching out for help, is to recognize that there are going to be lots of places where we have some opportunities, and we need to grab those opportunities wherever they are.
But, says LaRue, further delay of a farm bill could be costly.
My worry about trying to get some of the other policy topics in there is that next year is not a good time to be writing a farm bill. Farmers need it now more than ever. And we're going to be needing a stronger safety net. We're going to be needing that certainty of permanent disaster. Next year, the tone is all going to be about finding ways to cut programs.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, political consultant Joe Sopecki joins us and another edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings at 10. The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. 3 times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Drones dropping out of formation and falling from the sky in the middle of an Orlando, Florida holiday show over the weekend, severely injuring a 7-year-old boy.
The company behind the drone show, Sky Elements, saying in a statement, Sky Elements Drones wants to extend our sincere hope for a full and speedy recovery to those impacted.
We turned around and we saw that he was hit. He was unconscious. It was horrible.
The drone hitting the boy in the chest, one of the propellers cutting his face, his family rushing him to a local hospital. His mother says Alice Alexander underwent open heart surgery overnight. The FAA is currently investigating.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. There's a man in custody in New York City suspected of setting a woman on fire aboard a subway train. She later died. It happened at the Coney Island stop in Brooklyn. A couple of days before Christmas, there's a winter storm on the move. Snow and ice in parts of the upper Midwest. Also the coldest December in years across the Northeast. More than 100 million Americans expected to travel by road or by air between now and January 2nd. This is ABC News. Blake Light.